Tonight we'll be looking at the book of Genesis chapter 31, verse 3. Genesis chapter 31, verse 3.
All right, Genesis chapter 31, verse 3 reads this way. It says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, once again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, we ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and minds and to guide us into your truths, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth, and that you might be honored and glorified and our lives empowered. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, I Will Be With Thee. I Will Be With Thee. And that's important. Tonight we're going to look just for a few moments at the importance of walking with God. That was not always Jacob's testimony, but it's important to walk with the Lord. And our faithfulness to seek God will garner his guidance and companionship in our lives. So God wants us to have that. That's his will, that we walk with him. Isn't that true? For the child of God to experience God's great grace and great faithfulness. That's the whole purpose. God is honored and glorified in our lives by us seeing God's great grace and faithfulness in and to us, for really not only for ourselves, but also to be a blessing to the world, beginning with our family, church family, and then out to the world. I want to look at a couple of things as we consider this. We'll look at four thoughts. We're going to look at the Lord's watch care. We're going to look at a compliance with the Lord's will. And then we're going to look at the Lord's new direction explained. And then Laban's history of carnality. And you'll see how that all fits together here. But let's look at the Lord's watch care. Look at verse 1 with me. It says, "And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory." Now, that couldn't be further from the truth, all right, in the sense of, the implication is that he's taken what belongs to our father. No, they made a deal, and God had given to him these things. And if you remember, Laban was responsible for changing his wages 10 times. That's like hiring somebody to do something for you, and then they tell you how much they're going to charge you, and then when the job's done, they add an extra $150 to it, right? Say, listen, you know, this, that, and the other, and I need to charge you a little bit more for that. You know, I've come from the place when you tell somebody a price, that's the price. That's like selling something and for a certain price, and then the person sees, this person's very eager. Let me tack on another $200 or $300 to that after they'd already struck a deal, and that doesn't fly very well, does it? And so this was Laban. He continually was doing this to him 10 times. He changed the wages. And again, I want to remind you, Jacob also was a liar as well. He lied when his dad had asked Esau to get him some venison, and he was going to give him the birthright. And the mom heard what was going on, if you remember, and she fixed up a kid to make it look like venison or taste like venison because Isaac's eyes were not doing well. And anyway, there was five lies in one verse there. The Lord brought it to me. I am your son, Esau. And then Isaac was saying, you know, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but he felt him. Remember, the mother put the kid's fur on him, but the arms feel like Esau's. And so what a mess that was. And of course, Esau was going to get ready to have it in for him. And the mom said, you better leave. You better go away so that I'm not bereaved of your death. So notice verse 2, and Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban. So not only is he hearing this, listen, not only is God allowing him to hear what the sons of Laban are saying, but then he sees this and verse 2, and Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. It changed the countenance, his facial expressions, and it was one that was now contrary to him being there. And so with that said, notice what happens right here. And this is, again, the Lord allowing him to see this, and maybe it was just noticed at this particular time, because God was getting ready to move Jacob. Look at verse 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto thy land of thy fathers and unto thy kindred, and I will be with thee. He said, listen, I want you to trust me. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to provide for you. And he made it really unpalatable, really, for him to be there. He made it uncomfortable for him to be there. So he says, now it's time for you to go into a different direction. And so God was using and allowing all of this to take place to bring Jacob right where he wanted him. Again, I'm going to tell you my theory, right? And that is that God saw what you and I were going to do, and he allowed it, and he's merciful, and wove his will right in the middle of everybody else's will. We will never thwart. God already, listen, in the eyes of God, everything is as it's been done already, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He knows it all. So nothing ever overtakes God. And that's important for us to rest in, not just to know about it, but to rest in that truth. A lot of times believers know these things, but they're not resting in these things, right? And what do I mean by that? Well, because we can have our world, so to speak, get flipped upside down because of what we're hearing and what people are doing and saying and how we feel. But we're not supposed to live by feeling. We're supposed to live by faith, which is trust in the Lord, that he is in control with all of these things. So I want you to see this compliance now with the Lord's will. So the Lord had just given him a direction. The Lord had allowed him to hear Laban's sons talking about negatively about what was going on. Supposedly he's being blamed for taking their father's things. And that was not the case. And I want to ask you this question now. Laban's sons, let's just consider them just for a moment here, his sons, did they believe they were doing right, or did they believe they were doing wrong? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When people are doing wrong, they believe they're doing right. They justify it in their minds. Somehow they justify it that what they're doing is right. So they convince themselves that Jacob's a thief. He's taking our father, it belongs to us, and Laban also is not very happy with Jacob at this time. So notice this compliance now with the Lord's will in verse 4. And Jacob sent, he got the message from the Lord in verse 3, go back to your father's land and to your kindred. And verse 4, and Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. So they're having this private meeting. They're outside. They're with the flock, right? They're in the midst with. Now I don't know why Jacob called them out there and not to a tent, not to where they dwelt, but they are in the midst of this flock that God has blessed them with. So if you can imagine, they're looking at all that God has done for them. They both know, Rachel and Leah, they all three know. That's confusing, but anyway. And Jacob as well. What God has done and what's been done to them, all right? And yet they know, and they're being reminded by the Lord, and they're reminding themselves that they're in God's hands, just like you and I are in God's hands. Are we supposed to seek revenge for ourselves? We're never supposed to do that. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever felt like taking revenge for yourself, right? That's our nature. But we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to trust who? The Lord, right? God. That he holds us in his hands and that he will work out, 25% of things for our good. Is that how much he does? Oh, no, he does at least 50, doesn't he? No. How much does he do? All things, 100%, all things for our good. Now listen, God has seen fit to pen this down in Scripture because we have a tendency to forget those things, do we not? We don't always feel that way. Now, that's the difference between faith and feeling. What are you going to trust, how you feel or what God has said? That's the choice. I know how I feel. I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to look to what the Lord has said. And that will take all of the anxiety, all of the anger, all of the discomfort away. Because I'm going to trust the Lord, and that means I'm in His hands. All right. So they're out there in the midst, and he calls them out there and said unto them, I see your father's countenance. Notice this. Notice what they're noticing here. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. Did you see that? Listen to this. Now listen. The God of my father hath been with me. Do you remember who his father was? Is Isaac. So remember, he is the seed of promise. He is a miracle child. Because it was God's work in Sarah and Abraham, because they both of them were dead. In other words, there was no way they could produce a child. God waited for that to prove them and to prove himself to them that he is the God of impossibilities. He makes things happen that are impossible to mankind. All right. So he says, I want you to know that it's not the same. Verse 6, and ye know, listen, that with all my power I have served your father. He's saying, I want you to know that I did everything. There is nothing that I have done that was wrong towards your father. Everything I did for your dad was with a whole heart. With all sincerity, I did the right thing. Okay. And so he says, I want you to know. But notice verse 7, and your father, after he says that, he says, and your father hath what? Deceived me. Deception is nothing more than a lie. All right? So he's lied to me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. God did not allow him to hurt me. Now, you gotta be reminded too where Jacob is coming from. He participated in lying. He participated now in deception. Did he not? Okay. But God now is taking him. He is not the same as he was before. And he's on a path of continual change because of the relationship that he has with his father's God now. So he has entered into this relationship with the Lord, and the Lord does not leave us the same way. So the very same things that he had once participated in, he wants nothing more to do with it. Okay? So we don't want to forget Jacob's past, just like we don't want to forget our past and where God has brought us from and where we're at with him today and where he wants to bring us to. Amen. Okay. So as we see this, he says, I want you to know that he changed my wages, he deceived me, but God didn't allow him to hurt me. And so Jacob is taking note of what God has done. It's not by chance, but it's what God did for him. So he has a relationship with the Lord, and he's sharing that. His wives have seen that, but he's declaring. It's different when you declare it. You know, God can be smiling on your life, but it's a good thing to declare God's goodness. And to worship him in that. And to let everybody know how good God is. Verse 8. And if he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. Isn't that amazing? This is God's work. So this is what was happening. And if he said thus, the ringstrake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstrake. Imagine that. So he is taking, now Laban is saying, look, all the speckled are going to be yours. And amazing thing, all the cattle came out speckled. Or if it was rings, so you know he changed it, right? They're all speckled. I don't have anything. Okay, the ring straight are yours. I'm taking the speckled. And guess what happens? They all come out ring straight. And so what is he seeing? The Lord's with him. I'm trying to bamboozle, I'm trying to manipulate, I'm trying to deceive it, and I'm getting nowhere fast. Now, I don't understand how people can see all of God's works and still reject him. I don't understand that. Laban is not a follower of the Lord. He's not. And his actions reveal it. There's a lot of people that say, praise be to the Lord, but their actions don't speak the same language. They're not talking the same thing. And it's important that our walk and our conversation are in agreement with our profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, verse 9, thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Are you getting that? God has intervened on your father's deception toward us. Okay. So in verse 10, we find this. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraight, speckled, and grizzled. Now, I want to pause this thought, and we're looking at compliance with the Lord's will. I want to move over to another thought and then come back to this compliance of the Lord's will. And I want to just for a moment look at the Lord's new direction explained here in verse 11. Look at verse 11. And the angel, now he's explaining God's new direction. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. That is such an important statement. Because God calls today and he's not hearing, here am I. God calls today and people say, I don't have time right now. Just a moment. I'm very busy. You don't understand. I've got things in my life. I've got things I've got to take. Do you think God doesn't know all those things? It is when we take and make time for God that we honor him. And we say, Lord, more important than what I can do with my hands is what you want to do with yours in my life. Because nothing stops God's will. And if we will invite God into our life, we will experience God's protection, God's providence, his watch care, his mercy, and his grace in our lives. And his peace that passes all understanding to know. Listen, did the Apostle Paul have any difficulties or trials in his life? Just one or two? Just one or two? He had more than one. I almost had one just now. This pulpit was making its way off the platform. All right. And yet he wrote letters in prison to encourage believers about the goodness and grace of God. Was he just a psycho? Or did he have a relationship with God that he wanted all believers to experience in their own lives, so that when things don't go the way we think they should, we know that God is still in control? And not only do we convince our hearts with that, but we move where we were at. Man, when he was locked up in prison, when he was locked up in the palace, he was witnessing, they were sending him new watch guards. He was winning them to the Lord. And he was talking about the ones, pray for those that are in the palace. He was winning people to the Lord. Why? Because he wasn't sitting in a corner going, woe is me. Look, I'm trying to serve God. And look, it's what's happened. No, I'm in the Lord's hands. Now, I say that, and I'm being a little bit kind of kidding about that. But we have the tendency to do that. To say, why is this happening to me? But we need to be reminded that everything that comes into our life is for our good, and it's through the hand of God. So he says this, I say, here am I. And then notice this, verse 12, and he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Whatever comes into your life, God has seen it. Whatever discomfort or dishonesty or deception that comes into your life, God has seen it. God has seen it. And this is a truth right here that pens it down for you and I to see it in the Word of God so that we can look to it and say, yes, I understand. But even greater than that, God has seen it. And he's with us. He's with me. I want to walk with the Lord. So he says, I've seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Verse 13. And notice what he says. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Now he's rehearsing what the Lord said to him. He said, I want you to know, Bethel is the house of God. I want you to know that I am the God that you vowed a vow to. I want you to know I'm the God that you committed yourself to. I want you to know that I'm the God that you put your faith and trust into when you said, yes, Lord, you're my Savior. And so now we go back to this compliance with the will of God. So Jacob gives a testimony of his relationship with the Lord. Now, his wives knew that. They saw that. They saw what their father was doing. Not only that, but they saw also, Rachel and Leah saw what their brothers were doing. They saw things were different. This is God's timing. And now we look at this new direction explained. Verse 14. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Wow. I mean, did they see what was going on? They're saying there is nothing for us here. I can't imagine that. Laban was such a scoundrel that there was nothing for his daughters there. And then notice this. Are we not counted of him as strangers? Wow. Wow. Are we not treated like we're not even known? I mean, strangers, you don't know a stranger. You don't have, you know what I'm saying? You don't have any interaction really with a stranger. Otherwise, they would become at least an acquaintance, right? So a stranger's unfamiliar, unknown. For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. Wow. They saw what was taking place. Notice what happens here. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, they've been watching. That is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Are they on board? Yeah, they've been alienated. But they've been patiently staying there for 20 years. They stayed there through it all. Now, at the first, maybe it was nice for the first 3 or 4 or 5 years, but something happened and something changed, and now they were being manipulated and used. And I want you to see Laban's history, really, of carnality. And you're right here in the book of Genesis. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 24 just for a moment. Genesis chapter 24, verse 29. Now, this is when Abraham sent for a bride for Isaac. And he shows up there, and Rebecca, the servant is going into the house of Rebecca, and he is praying to the Lord, and while he's still praying in his heart, there shows up Rebecca and does everything that this servant asked the Lord for the bride of Isaac to do. And then I want you to see something here in verse 29. You're there in Genesis 24. Look at verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother. Rebekah had a brother. And his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. Now watch this. And it came to pass when he saw the earrings and the bracelets upon his sister's hands. This was like a shekel weight of gold. What's he seeing? What's his eyes and his heart set on? And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me that came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Laban, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but he had false gods that he worshipped. You'll see that here in just a moment. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. He doesn't know the Lord any more than the man in the moon. He's got ulterior motives, and that is what's going to benefit Laban. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. When did he do that? He just got wind of it. When did he do that? Go over to Genesis chapter 30 and look at verse 27. Genesis 30, verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. That's Laban. He's saying, I know why I'm being blessed. Now, it amazes me, really, how he still rejects the Lord. He put up a spiritual facade, but there's no heart for the Lord. All he's thinking about is the here and now and what benefits him. But even still, God protected Jacob and Leah and Rachel. So, one more thought. Verse 30, chapter 31. Go over to chapter 31. They decide to leave. And Laban's not happy about this. And verse 25 says, he runs after them. He overtakes them. And verse 25 says, then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said unto Jacob, what hast thou done? Did you see this? Laban is saying to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives with a sword? Is any of that true? Didn't they just say, whatever the Lord says, do it? Didn't they just say that we're counted as strangers in our father's house? Didn't they just say that they took everything and we're not being, you know, he's not treating us? He's taken everything. So this man is a habitual liar. And God says he gives them over to that. When we reject the Lord in our sins, he's justifying that. Do you think Laban believes that? I think he believes that. I think he believes that. When people accuse you of the very things they're doing, I think they believe that. And so he says, wherefore, verse 27, didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with myrrh and with songs and with tabrets and harp, with harp? You think he really planned on doing that? And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters, that thou hast done foolishly in so doing. Well, he had 20 years to do that. And his daughters didn't believe they were counted as strangers and have spent all what they had. Nothing for their children. Isn't that what they said? Verse 29, it is in the power of my hand. This is what he thinks. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your fathers spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not unto Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, but because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Lowercase g. He's an idol worshiper. Blessed be thou of the Lord. Didn't we read that when the servant came? When he saw the earrings and the bracelets? Oh, he got spiritual, didn't he? Because it profited him. It benefited him. But he was deceiving, wasn't he? But in the long run, who was he deceiving? Himself. That is a sad commentary. The people, listen, he was so close to understanding the God of Abraham. So close to knowing the God of creation and the Savior of the world. He was in the very midst of it. He even used spiritual language, didn't he? But what was the matter? His heart. His heart was not right with God. He justified everything that he was doing and saying. And that's unfortunate. And he says here in verse 30, "And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house," that was not what was going on. Now, God had called him, but listen, it tells us here that God said that "I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee," in verse 12. God is saying, "I have watched." Did he just start watching? Did God just start watching that year, that moment? He'd been watching for 20 years. He'd been watching for 20 years. But here's the promise, ready? To Jacob and to all of his children. "Don't worry about that. I'll be with you." There are things that are more important than the material things of this world that are passing away. The greatest commodity, if you want to call it that, the greatest possession of a believer is our relationship with our God. And if we will allow God to bring that forth, we will be at peace. Remember when I talked about, do you believe that we're in God's hands? Sometimes we get a little fearful. Sometimes we get a little anxious. And that's where we have to set those things aside and say, "Aside of that, Lord, I believe in you. And I want my faith to be in you and not how I feel." God will bless that. "Lord, I don't want to walk in my fear." We all fear. We all fear at different times, maybe different times throughout the day. We all hurt. We all deal with that. But that is the moment where we decide whether we're going to walk by faith in God's great faithfulness or whether we're going to stay and be consumed in our fear. And so God says, "I will be with you." Did our God not say, "I'll not leave thee nor forsake thee"? And our God is still the same, is he not? Yes. Yesterday, today, and forever. And so tonight God reminds us that in spite, and that no doubt has to hurt. I mean, I don't understand that. Listen, it happens. That's his father-in-law, and that's the father of his wives. I don't understand how that can happen. And yet God says, even more than that and better than that, "I will be with you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, for the encouragement that it brings, for the freedom that it gives, and Lord, for the glory that you have in working all these things out in our lives and in our minds. I pray, Lord, that we would seek you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and that we would rest and ask you to bring us into your rest, that we would not be anxious for anything, but that we would know we're in your hands. Bless, Lord, the rest of the time together as we break off for prayer. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.